You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
I have looked forward to this day for some time. It was a few months ago, now probably several months ago, that I became Facebook friends with David Ring. And I have known about this man, heard him speak via television for, I guess, most of my young adult, even teenage life, and just never dreamed, never dawned on me that we'd be able to have him to come to our church, and we called, and they responded, and we set a date. And I tell you, you are in for a treat. This man has been used by God. He'll share more about it. But for the last 45 years, he has... Bob, can you help Brother David right over here? For the last 45 years, he's preached this gospel around the world. He goes to some of the most prestigious places in all the world. And he'll share some of those things from John Hagee to Tommy Barnett to David Jeremiah, all over, and television, and God uses his story. I'm going to let him tell it. We are blessed this morning to have with us David Ring. Would you give him a big Island Church welcome?
Love you.
Oh, bless you, my friend. Bless you.
And all God's people said, it's joy to be here. I've been doing this for 45 years. I know I don't look that old. Do I?
No.
Therefore, I started when I was 2. And I've been all over this country. I've literally spoken in every state of the United States. But I love Alabama. I love Alabama people. Do you know Alabama is my favorite state to come to? Do you know that? Let me say it one more time. Alabama is my favorite state to come to. One more time, Alabama is my favorite state. Now when I go to Georgia, I'd say Georgia is my favorite state. I'm all day to all people. But I have literally learned whatever state I'm in. How many of you know by now, I have a speech impediment. I forgot I'm in Alabama. Everybody in Alabama has a speech impediment. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart in the state of Alabama, I think I'm in a Pentecostal church. Everybody is speaking in unknown tongues. A lady came up to me in Mobile, Alabama, and said, David, I'm 91 years old. And David, I've been ill every night of the revival. But David, I can catch everything you are saying. I said, ma'am, don't worry about that. I don't even catch everything I'm saying. And that's the truth. But I love you, preacher. Even though he made me feel old. Are you younger than I am? 57. I got food in my refrigerator over there. How many of you been to Walmart? One more time. How many of you been to Walmart? Thank God for Walmart. I told my wife the other day, baby doll, when I die, bury me at Walmart. She said, say what? When I die, bury me at Walmart. And she said, what for? I'd say, if I die and you bury me in a dumb cemetery with a bunch of dead people, you won't come see me. But if you bury me at Walmart, you will be there every day. Can I get a witness? Amen. But I love you. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. It was 8 degrees cold when I left yesterday. And I thought I was coming to warm weather. But do you know, and I check my phone, do you know it's warmer in Alaska than it is on Beach, Alabama? I'm moving to Alaska. You got your Bible today, tell me to give the book up. Revelation, the book of Revelation. For the prayer, I cannot. Thank you enough for having me. I'm honored to be with you and your people. And I love you. And you are a wonderful, wonderful God to be with. Now, there is one more thing you told me to tell them. I forgot. If you know me by now, you know me. You know I believe in having fun in church. God gave me a sense of humor, and I use it in church. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, if you don't believe in that, I'm praying for you now that God will move you on the other side of heaven, because on my side, we're going to get down. Duh. The devil don't want you to have fun in church. The devil still kill and destroy. The devil wants you to look like a sourpuss. And many of you are obeying him. He told me to tell you that. I would never say that. But today we are going to look at the subject, how do we overcome? How do you and I overcome? How do we move on in our life? How do we give a point A to point B? How can a 64-year-old cerebral palsy body that was born dead by 18 minutes, how can he travel all over the country every week? He is on a stage telling a bunch of people my story. How is that? I'm 64 and I still struggle in my life and stuff you don't even think about. I mean, like this morning I go up and I put on my shirt. It take me about 45 minutes to put on my shirt. I know you don't want to stay there, and I'm not asking, but 45 minutes to put on my shirt. Why? Because sweep party and buttons don't go together. And these buttons are built, I despise them. And the button under the nose of my tie, that button is from the pit of hell. Can I get witness? No wonder you gave up on ties a long time ago. But even though you don't have CP, I guarantee you, every single one of you, young, old, every single one of you have something to overcome. And do you know it's easier, it's much easier for me to overcome than you to overcome. Why is that? Because what I have to overcome, you see with your eyes, hear with your voice. What you have to overcome, you've done such a good job about hiding it way down deep, and nobody know about what you have to overcome. But let me tell you, God and you do. But thank God, we got the power to overcome anything in our life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. They overcame him, overcame the devil. If you are a child of God today, your number one enemy is not your spouse. Some of you got to think about that. You're welcome. If you are a child of God today, your number one enemy is not your mother-in-law, even though mine come real close. And don't worry, if you tell my wife I said that, all I got to say, baby doll, they did not understand me. Duh. But your number one enemy, being a child of God, is the devil. The devil still kill and destroy. The devil go about whom he may devour. And my friend, the devil wants to take you out of the game of life. No, he don't want to kill you physically, but he don't want you to make an impact in society. Huh? But thank God we got the power to overcome the devil. But by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? I love the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sin. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Walk and wash away all my sin. Tell me, church. Walk and make me over again. Tell me. Oh, patience is the flow that made me white as snow. No other name I know. Nothing but the blood Look at me, child of God. God look at you through the blood. I thought I might get a bigger amen from that, but I thought you told me they were alive. No, they don't. They did. Okay. I blame the cold weather. But the devil say to you every day, if they only knew. But thank God we can pull our fists up and say, look, Slewfoot, the one that loved me the most know everything about me. And the devil don't play fair, but thank God we got the power to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Every one of you have a story, don't you? You don't have my story. I don't have your story, but we all have a story, don't we? And I found out, look at me, this is so important. The more I tell my story, the more I overcome. Therefore, if I want to overcome on Monday, I tell my story on Monday. If I don't want to overcome on Monday, I keep my mouth shut. Every day you don't tell your story, you will not overcome that day. Huh? The more you tell your story, therefore, I want you to tell your story every day. You say, preacher, I can't do that. Why not? Well, my story too long. No, it's not. It's not too long. Your story is three words. May I give you your story today, may I? Your story is, I am blessed. You say, you don't know, preacher, you don't know where I've been. No, I don't. But I know one thing for sure, you are blessed today. Amen. You say, well, I don't feel blessed. I feel like I'm going through hell. Well, you may be going through hell, but you are going through hell blessed. Therefore, let's say our story together, baby. I am blessed. Say it again.
I am blessed.
Louder.
I am blessed.
One more time.
I am blessed.
Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and say, how are you? Just say, I'm blessed. And leave out all the other details. They don't give a whip. Especially church people. I've been working with them for 45 years. But I'm so afraid to ask church people how they doing. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing? Oh, my back killing me. How you doing, sir? Oh, I don't think I'm going to make it today. Well, that's pitiful. Every little pain, you'd say, woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is my face. Woe is my leg. Woe is my back. Woe is my head. Oh, get over it. Take a number and get a line. Duh. Some people think I have a handicap. I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. So many people think I have a disability. I don't have a disability either. I have a platform to tell my story, which is I am blessed. So many people think I have a problem in life. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity to tell my story, which is I am blessed. So many people think I have a burden to live with in life. I don't have a burden. I have a blessing. Now look at me, cerebral palsy is not a punishment. Cerebral palsy is a blessing. May I prove it? May I? I'm the only man alive that been through four children and never change one diaper. I'm blessed! I remember when my wife was having our baby, she would give me one every now and then and say, "Here, go change the diaper." I said, "Not me, I have cerebral palsy." And she was dumb enough to believe it. My wife knew if I changed the diaper, it'd be all over the wall. Now, don't you wish you had cerebral palsy? No diapers. Everybody has the same story, which is I am blessed, but everybody has a different journey. My journey began Jonesboro, Arkansas, 1953. Born there for 18 minutes. The oxygen could not get to my brain, and therefore I was stillborn baby, I was a dead baby, I was a blue baby. And because my mom was dying, they put my body, literally, they put my body on a table, and I lay on the table 18 minutes dead. Can you imagine me being dead for 18 minutes? They tell me you can only be dead for 7 without severe brain damage. I was dead for 18 minutes. I'm not supposed to be a food. I'm supposed to be a vegetable, but I'm not a vegetable. Do you know why I'm not a vegetable? Because it's not over until God say it's over. It's not over until God say it's over. And what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So if you are a child of God today, hang on, my friend. Joy comes in the morning. At the age of 11, little boy, my daddy got sick. And 2 weeks later, my preacher daddy died of cancer of the liver at the age of 59. Well, I'm the baby of the family. I'm the baby of 8. And I'm not only the baby of 8, I made Aiden number one mama, baby boy. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a mama boy, because I got that mama baby face. You know, the face only a mom can have. Boy, you know what I mean, don't you? Boy, some of you look like you've been beaten with an ugly stick. Do you know what I mean? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You may be blessed, but you're still ugly. He told me to tell you that. I would never say that. But being a special named guy like I am, my mama overcompensated everything for me. My mom fed me because every time I feed myself the spoon, the fork fell off my spoon and fork. And therefore, my mama fed me every day. If you are a mom today, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want your baby to suffer. And my mama talked for me. My mama, every time people talked to me when I was a little boy, they could not understand me. Therefore, my mama did all the talking for me. Life was wonderful until the age of 14. My mom got sick. She was in the hospital, had the operation on the neck. The day before Mother's Day, 1968, July 2 months later, the doctor came to my family and said, "Do you remember the lump we removed from your mom's bed 4 years ago?" Well, it came back in the neck, and your mom and it eaten up with cancer, and your mama gonna die. She gonna die within 6 months. I thought, "Oh, no, my mama not gonna die." My mama told me every day, "David, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. You can always come with mama. I will always defend you." My mama can die. My mama the only one that loved me. That's the way I am. My mama can die on me. Can she? But October 16th, 1968, at 2:01 a.m., my mama drew her last breath. And when my mama died, everything I believed went out the window. I believe my mama lied to me. My mama told me I will never abandon you. But she did the ultimate abandonment. She said she always going to defend me. But now people make fun of me. They look at me and say, "Look, that boy walk when he look. That boy talk when he look. That boy can do nothing. My head's no fun to be made fun of." And I couldn't go home to my mama, and I couldn't say, "Mama, somebody made fun of me." She couldn't put her arm around me and make it all better. People, I would lay in bed every day, every night, with tears rolling down my face, begging to die. Why? Because it hurt so bad. I was longing to be in my mama's lap one more time. And the sister that took me in, they were four boys, four girls. One of the sister took me in, and my sister molested me for 2 years. And she did it two times while my mom was in the other room dying. I can't believe anybody can molest someone, but I really can't believe a biological sister took advantage of her little baby brother. She stole my innocence, and she always say every time she molests me, 3 or 4 times a week. She said, if you ever tell anybody, I'm going to kick you to the curb and nobody love you, but I love you. I take you in. I've been living under shame and guilt. She said, David, it's your fault. And what's so sad about that is my sister comes to church every Sunday, and everybody in the church, they my sister a saint, but I got news for them. She everything but a saint. And people, it hurts. The pain, the emotional pain, it almost as bad, if not worse, than physical pain. I have both of them, and I wanted to die. I attempted suicide every other day. But thank God, God did not let me go through with this. Because it's not over until God say it's over. And God had a plan for my life. I wish he would let me in on it a long time before he did. Been there. But I knew my sister was coming in my room. One night, and to molest me, I walked up to the hill. There was a church. They were having a revival. I didn't want to go into that church because God don't love me, God. If God loved me, why did my mama die? If God loved me, why did my daddy die? If God loved me, why did it hurt so bad on the inside? If God loved me, why do I have a crippled body? God don't love me. Don't tell me God to love me. If you've never walked in my shoes, have you been there yet? But thank God I went inside just to get away from the monster. And when I walk in the door, I got a funny feeling. God say, yep, you are on time. Today is the day of your salvation. And God called all the angels over and said, come over here. You got to get in on there. See that 16-year-old boy? That's the dead baby. The dead baby. You remember the dead baby? Well, he is 16. He is so lonely. He don't think I love him. But angel, I'm about ready to turn his life upside down. I'm about ready to turn him every which way but and steal our angels and strike up the band because a baby boy is going to be born into the family of God tonight. And thank God, God changed my life. April 17, 1970, at 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time, I became a child of God. God took away my old day and gave me new day. God took away my loneliness, gave me a happiness. God took away my soul and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at me. I still walk with the limp. I still talk funny. But all the joys that flood my soul because Jesus touched me and made me whole. I'm not the same anymore. I've been changed by the power of God. Look at me. I still have cerebral palsy. But thank God, cerebral palsy don't have me. I overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, which I am blessed. People come up to me and say, preacher, don't you want to be normal? I look at them, I'd say, what's normal? You think you're normal? You got a long way to go, buddy. And some of you are not going to make it. And so every now and then, somebody come up to me and say, David, do you believe in divine healing? I'd say, yeah. Do you believe God can heal you of cerebral palsy? Well, now I'd say, absolutely. But if we don't, hallelujah anyway. And by the way, if God does heal me physically, who is he going to make me look like? You? Forget it. I take what I have in there over that. But look at me, God used my life to change a whole article for him. I went to a public high school. People made fun of me. There were 1,400 in the student body. After I became a child of God, my attitude changed overnight. And the people in school say, what happened to that guy? And they had to call together a old school assembly, and they wanted me to stand on stage and tell them what happened to me. Now, keep in mind, many of them made fun of me. And I got on stage that day. I said to the mother, I went to an old-fashioned revival. I gave my life to God. I don't understand that. But I know one thing. I don't want to die today because I found someone worth living for. Number two, I found I'm worth dying for. And you know what they did? They voted me to be the most popular boy in the student body. Pretty good, huh? They voted me to be Minister of School Spirit. They voted me to be the vice president of my class. I even beat out a good-looking cheerleader. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I'm the only 64-year-old man you know that been out of school over 45 years that still got the yearbook on the coffee table. They want to put it up in the attic. I'd say, heck no, leave it on the coffee table. I'm throughout the yearbook. I'm on every other page. Leave it on the coffee table. They did not know the number one job the school gave me because I was vice president. My job to pick out pictures to go into the yearbook. That's why I'm on every other page. I might be dumb, but not stupid. But look at me, people. I believe with all my heart. God began to give back to me what the devil stole from me. They voted me to be the football, basketball, and track manager of the year. People, my life was turned around. I found out that if I did not do my job as a manager, nobody else could do their job. Number two, I found out it takes everybody, even a lowly manager, to make the team. Number three, I found out I could never be a quarterback. But watch this. I could always help somebody to be the best quarterback in the nation. Wow. I still got skin in the game. Church, what will happen to the church if we adopt that? If you take, if I don't do my job in the church, nobody else could do their job well. Number two, it takes everybody to make it church. Church, look at me. It's time to get out of the stands and get on the playing field. It's time to get the lead out and put the Lord in. It's time to get off your blessed assurance. It's time to quit giving God your excuse. You don't have any. You're welcome. Some of you need to sing. You'd say, well, preacher, I don't sing anymore because somebody hurt my feeling. Well, whippity-doo-dee, you big baby. Don't let the doorknob hit you as you go out today. You're welcome. Who are we, a bunch of babies? No, we are soldiers in the army of God. Get off AWOL. Don't coast in life. Don't survive only in life. Thrive. Make a difference. They told me I would never be a preacher. But I am. The preachers told me, David, you won't ever make it. I've only been doing it 45 years. I may not make it. They said nobody will invite you to the church, their church. But listen to me. I have spoken in 7,600 different churches. With a speech impediment. I have sweet poverty. Now, what's your problem? Huh? All I can say to the bunch of preachers who told me I would never make it, all I can say, nah, 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 nah. I need to tell the 8:30 crowd, come help me, but before I fall in prison, you think you're going to get out by 11 today. I got news for you. I'm not going to hold back any. But when I was 19 years old, I came down with Al and told my preacher, I said, preacher, God called me to preach. And my preacher looked at me and said, David, it's a figment of your imagination. Go back to your seat. Sunday night, I came again down there. And I said, preacher, God called me to preach it. And my preacher said, David, I told you this morning, I'm telling you today, it's a figure of your imagination. God didn't call you to preach. Now go back to your seat. So Wednesday night, I came down there. By the way, when I go to church, I love to sit in different location. You know why? I want the devil to look for me. Some of you need to change it up. And I said, preacher, God called me to preach. He looked at me in the eye and said, David, I told you once, I told you twice. I'm telling you for the third time. And the last time, God did not call you to preach. God will never call you to preach. God can't use anybody like you behind the pulpit. Go back to your seat. And don't come anymore. What will you do in that situation? Let me tell you what you will do. You will leave the church that day. And on the way out the door, you will say either out loud or under your breath, "The hell with the church." You know what I did? Sunday morning. And by the way, I need to let you know, when you are born dead for 18 minutes, and when you have cerebral palsy all your life, you can play deaf anytime you want to. And I came out to say, preacher, God called me to preach. I know you don't know you're going to believe in, therefore I'm going to spend my life making you eat coal. I'm happy to tell you today, my 91-year-old preacher is still alive. And for 45 years, he's been cowing down. What would happen if I left the church? Number two. Why do you leave a church? Somebody hurt your feelings. You won't talk about it. I'm a pro on feelings. May I give you a good suggestion? Leave your feelings at home. Because I guarantee you, everybody that comes to church, everybody are broken people. And your feelings going to get broken. Look at me. I wonder what the preacher thought when they turned on the TV and saw me preaching on Dr. Falwell and saw me on John Hagee. You know, Big Bad John. I've been with John Hagee about 19 times. I wonder what my preacher thought when he turned on the radio and heard me on Focus on the Family. Let me tell you what my preacher thought, because my preacher called me that day and said, David, I was driving down the war highway and I turned on the radio and you were giving your life story with Dr. Dobson, and I had to pull over to the shoulder of the road and because my tears were blinding me. David, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Don't need to preach. Don't need to. because you, God used your discouragement. God used your discouragement to make me find my own faith, make me find my tough faith. And people look at me, I know I'm going overtime, but when you put faith and stubbornness together, you got a dynamite duo, and nobody can stop you. Do you know that the only thing I do for a living, I go from church to church. Every week I'm in a church. I speak in about 150 different churches every year. And I don't go to a church on a set amount. I go to a church on a free will love offering. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means if you don't give, I don't eat. That's what that means. That's the truth. I don't know what I'm going to get today. I don't have a clue what you're going to give me in the love of it at the close of the service. But I know one day I'm having the time of my life. Do you know, I could be on welfare, I could be on total disability, you could be paying my way whether you want to or not. If you don't give, I will be on welfare. And please keep me off welfare 1 more week. But people look at me, I'm telling you the truth. 45 years ago, I said, God, I want to live by faith. I don't want people to send me money. I don't want to count on my mailbox with money in it every week. And I chose not to do that. Because I want to live by faith. I want to come to Orange Beach and to leave with God, what God gave me through you. And my Bible tells me, God shall supply all my need. They told me I will never finish college. But I did. I crammed 4 years of college into 5. Don't forget, I was born there for 18 minutes. They told me I would never write a bad singer, but I do without trying well. They told me I would never drive a car, but I do. They told me I would never find a wife. My whole family said that. They said, David, don't even look for a wife. Why not? No one will love you. Why not? You're not good enough to be loved. David, you are going to remain single all your life. You will never find a wife. So I thought, why date? Why spend money on someone if they're not going to love me? Now, who's smart? But September 5th, 98-1, God had another plan for me. I stood before 500 people at First Baptist Church of St. Charles. Mature, I looked through the double door open wide, and all of a sudden, I saw a beautiful bride walking down the aisle. In a white gown, she was dynamite. She was knocked out. I might be crippled in the body, but my eyesight A-OK. And I'd say, I do. She'd say, I do. And we did. And we've been doing it for 36 years. Ain't God good? Ain't God faithful? They told me I will never be a daddy. 5 weeks after the wedding, my wife called me up and she said, babe, I went to the doctor today and I'm pregnant. I said the most stupid thing a husband can ever say to a wife. How could that be? And she picked up on that and said, I don't know. Tell me, big boy. Every time I look at my wife, she got pregnant. After the fourth one, I walk around with my house. Baby doll, I love you. I'm not looking. I'm a daddy to 3 girls, one boy. April Jay is 35-year-old, master in psychology. She got married 10 years ago and got 3 of her own babies, 2 boys, 1 girl. I'm not only a dad, I'm a puppy. Hey, puppy, my wife is better. I'm not a grandpa. I'm not a grandpa. I'm way too young to be a grandpa. You do not say the G word in my house. My wife is not grandma. She is Bella, which means beautiful. And puppy. Ashley is 32-year-old. She got married 6 years ago. Graduated with an accounting degree. Doing so good. Named my boy, my only boy. Thank God. A 28-year-old. My son is single. My son is available. At the door, I will be taking application. If you want my boy, you can have my boy. But Amy Joy, the baby of the family. The baby of the family is 26-year-old. Amy graduated from high school in May of 2008, only by the grace of God. Amy either going to put me in the grave or in a mental ward. I thought cerebral palsy was tough to live with until she came along. She looked at me one day and said, well, Daddy, I did not ask to be born. She yelled, you better thank God, because if you did ask to be born, I would say no. Can I get a witness? Amy graduated with a 3.5 GPA from Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. And she is a registered nurse today on the ICU ward at St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville. I can promise you today, if I ever get sick, I will never go to St. Thomas Hospital. I know what she will do. She will come in my room about midnight and unplug my machine and say, Mom, I don't know how Daddy died. But I ain't God good. Look at me. every time I look at my family, all I can say, I am blessed.